Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Colossians chapter 2, we were talking about where our true riches are and being careful not to equate material gain with godliness. Let's continue with that lesson today.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
In Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, it tells us about the Laodicean church there. And it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." Now, not only had a church here in Laodicea increased with goods, they got to the point where they had no material needs. Perhaps we would call them a rich church. But see what they lacked in Revelation 3, 18 and 19. He says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Now, here's a church that was busting at the gills. I mean, it grew. It had large numbers. It looked like a very alive, active church. The Lord says, "No, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you are definitely naked, not clothed in righteousness." A lot of people equate gain with godliness. A lot of people equate a large number in the church as a godly church. That's not quite the truth, folks. If not, that would make Muslims very godly, that would make Mormons very godly, that would make Catholicism very godly, and so many others very godly, where the truth is not being actually told as it is according to the Word of God. And so, my friend, don't equate gain with godliness. Noah preached 120 years. No one outside his family got saved. But I don't call Noah a failure. He's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of faith. Now, here he tells them in verses 18 and 19 that they lacked gold that has been tried in the fire. You see, this is speaking of the true wealth. This is speaking of sound Bible doctrine, which is first sound on the doctrine of Christ and of the Word of God itself. Now, if your church is not rich in these things, in this type of a gold, then you don't have a good, strong biblical church. Do they really hold that the Word of God is word for word the Word of God and that it is preserved? Do they hold strongly to the doctrine of Christ? And he says, gold that is tried in fire. And the word fire here speaks of purity. Is your church a separated church that preaches standards from God's word of how to live, separation from worldliness and sin? As a matter of fact, white raiment speaks of righteousness and holiness. Again, a good church preaches holiness and standards. It preaches the truth. It doesn't look at holiness and standards as legalism, as some people want to do today. And by the way, when you hear somebody call someone a legalist, Usually they mean they have standards. You know what? If you have five daughters, do you want somebody that says, hey, I live in the age of grace, there are no more standards? Is that the kind of person you want dating those five daughters, or do you want a person that believes in standards? It's not legalistic to have standards. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Does that mean Jesus Christ is a legalist because he told us to keep his commandments? You see, my friend, this idea of legalist, a legalist is someone that believes you have to work for your salvation. I have never preached that, but I do preach holiness and standards and that God has laid things out. And we have freedom, we have liberty, and we have grace to live in holiness and to have standards. And that's the great thing about it. And then he says, I self. This refers to the spirit of perception. So you're not deceived by religion. Oh, listen, there's many false prophets, many false deceivers that have gone out into the world, and especially as we live in these the last days before the rapture. And my friend, you need to have a spirit of perception, and you won't have that if you're not walking with God on a daily basis. If only you depend on what you get from this radio broadcast or from your church, and you don't have a personal walk with God, there's going to be a deceiver that can lead you down the wrong road. And then this church had a need at Laodicea to repent. Now, since Revelation 3, verses 14 through 19, speaks of a church in the last days, this Colossians passage hits very close to home with us. The Colossians had problems with a group called the Gnostics. Gnosticism was crossing all religions and all religious lines, and it was bringing people together. And this is the goal of mystery Babylonianism that Revelation chapter 17 addresses, which speaks of a united, one-world religious system. It's headquartered in a city that was under the old Roman Empire that had seven mountains around it, and it was noted for its religion. I don't know about you, but when I look in the old Roman Empire in a city of seven mountains and only... it's the religious city. It's a very religious city. I kind of see one city like that, and it's Rome. And there are other cities, even in America, has several cities that have seven mountains around them, but they were not under the old Roman Empire. Now, the problems, as we'll see in chapter 3, with the Colossians, is that evil and sinful things were tolerated. But the first thing is the error in doctrine. I remember when I first was married, we had an old Opel Kadett. I don't even remember the year of it. I was married in 1969. But we had an old Opel Kadett. Driving down the side of a mountain one day in North Carolina, I got a ticket for doing 75 in a 65 mile an hour speed zone. Now, what you have to understand is that my speedometer was broken on the car, so I had no idea how fast I was going. Before the speedometer was broken, however, the fastest that car was ever able to go on a flat surface with my foot putting the pedal all the way to the metal, as they say, was 60 miles an hour. So when I got a ticket for doing 75 in a 65 zone, I wasn't real happy about the fine, but I was kind of proud that I got that car up to 75. There was no way that it would do that before. One day I was driving the same car in town. Suddenly, the engine roared in a full, loud blast as if I had the car in neutral and was just gunning it all the way. And, of course, I shifted the stick to neutral, and I pushed the clutch in and the brake. The accelerator was stuck. Well, I hit the accelerator a few times, and it popped back up. Well, that happened a few more times, and what I finally had to do was replace a little spring. Just one little spring had to be replaced, and that took care of the problem. One time, my wipers on the same car quit working. I drive through rainstorms and all that. I thought I had to get a new motor, wiper motor. At the time, it was hard for me to rub two nickels together. It was hard for me to get one nickel at that time. And so it was kind of hard. And so I thought, man, I can't afford a motor for a windshield wiper. So it turned out it was just a fuse. I think it might have cost me 15 cents at the time. And a little fuse repaired some wipers that I'd driven around with for months with in the rain without them working. Now, when the noise and the revved up engine, when all of that happened, understand that noise, the revved up engine, was not the problem. That was only a fruit of the problem. The problem was that little inexpensive spring. When my wipers would not work in the rain, the problem wasn't the rain. It wasn't the wipers themselves. It was a little, tiny, hidden fuse. Now, let's look over at chapter 3 of Colossians in verse 5. There it says, "Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Now, those things are the fruit of the problem. The problem was the false doctrine of the Gnostics, and that caused these other things. These were fruits of the false doctrine. And we have something similar to that today when people say we have liberty. The Bible showed us that in the last days, people would excuse fulfilling the lust of the flesh, bringing the world into the church, making the church sound like a nightclub and a rock concert. That worldliness is excused as we've got grace and liberty. Well, that's not a new thing. My goodness, the Gnostics were doing that back in the first century during the early church. And again, the devil always seeks ways to manifest the flesh, even in our worship, let alone our daily lives. So we must guard against movements that tell us to forget Bible doctrine and let us have unity in Jesus. But my friend, Jesus wants unity in God's Word. As a matter of fact, if you'll read Ephesians chapter 4, you'll find that there's already unity. There's one Spirit, one Lord, one God. And the idea is you've either got to accept that unity that's in Him or you reject it and you decide you want all this liberty to sin and to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, the faithfulness of God's Word distinguishes it from the delusions of human teachings. Paul longs to see saints united in prayer, God's Word, and holiness, enjoying the riches that are in Christ Jesus. My friend, it's going to take more than you just reading the Bible at night or in the morning or whatever time you have set aside each day to read it, if you do that. But after you read it, to meditate in it. And I don't mean just getting down and saying, "Lord, now I want to pray for this and pray for that and pray for this." No, I mean to meditate in the Word of God. Think long and hard upon it.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, "May the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today."
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.